Not going there. Question tonight. Just off the top of your head, what are some ways that we know God? What are some ways that we know God?
Nature.
Through nature?
Word.
Through work?
Word.
Through His Word?
Life. Through life?
Through life? Through prayer? Through others?
Speaking to us.
Yeah. What else?
Through Jesus.
Yeah.
Providing miracles.
Miracles. Yeah. The Spirit.
Yeah.
And through His time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bad times and yeah. Yeah. Say it again.
Newborn babies.
Yeah. Amen.
Through healing.
Healing. Yeah. Well, we're going to talk tonight about knowing God through prayer. Knowing God through prayer. How is it that we can know God through prayer? There was a small town, not real close to here, but a small town that had a history for being a dry county. And these businessmen came into town and they decided to build a tavern. And so the church people obviously threw a fit about that, and they decided we're going to have an all-night prayer vigil, and we're going to ask God to intervene in the building of this tavern. So they are the opening of the tavern, because the tavern itself had already been built. And so the church convenes and they have this prayer session. And the next night after the prayer meeting, lightning struck and burned the building down. And so the owner of the tavern sued the church. Okay? And the church then goes before the judge and says, "Listen, judge, we don't have anything to do with this. That was lightning striking this." And here's what the judge decided. He said, "The people that own the tavern believe in prayer, and the people at church don't." Right? You better watch what you pray for. Somebody said, "You better watch what you pray for. You just might get it." You better be careful. You see, what our churches need today is not more programs or not more organizations, but we need men and women with the Holy Spirit in their lives, our God in their lives, that the Holy Spirit can use us. That's what we need in prayer. You know, how do you know what your boss or your spouse or anyone else wants you to do? Most of the time you ask, or most of the time maybe they just tell you. Direct communication, talking, is the most effective way, efficient way to get your request across for direction. How do you think your spouse would react if he or she talked to you all the time and you never responded? Now don't tap them. But isn't that true? For Christians, prayer is communication with God. God speaks through His Word, speaks through the Holy Spirit, speaks through circumstance, and speaks through fellow Christians. And so how do we respond to Him? Well, you can talk to God. What an awesome opportunity that we could just stop everything we were doing a while ago and we can just start praying. We don't have to make an appointment. It doesn't have to be on our calendar. We can just pray. What an awesome opportunity. Prayer requires, though, effort and the proper attitude of the heart, but it's also one of the best ways to seek God and to know God. And Psalms chapter 143 was written by David. And in this psalm, David is asking for guidance and support. "I would rather stand against cannons of the wicked than against prayers of the righteous." One said, men may spurn our appeals and reject our message and oppose our arguments, but they're helpless against our prayers. And so that's what David was seeking. David was overwhelmed. His heart was desolate at the time that he wrote Psalm 143. And everyone who feels like that needs and seeks God's help. And just remember that you can seek God's guidance at any time. You can seek God any place, in any decision that you make. Let's open up to Psalms 143. And let's look at what David was seeking from God. Psalms 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me in your righteousness. Enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you. For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. Anybody ever been there? The enemy pursues you. He's crushed you. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. Therefore, my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled. I remember the days of old, and I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies. And you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul. For I am your servant. That's pretty powerful words, isn't it? And that's what David, his soul was thirsting and seeking God. But I want you to notice first in Psalms 143 what David was looking for. And David first was looking for a merciful word from God. You see, somebody said that we don't want God to deal with us in justice. We need mercy. And David was seeking this merciful word. David had a faith in God that God would hear his prayer. That God would have mercy on him. He knew God. He knew the character of God. And verse 1 goes and uses the words faithfulness and righteousness. They're essential characteristics of the character of God. That's what God's character is. It is faithfulness and it is righteousness. And God's mercy is the only reason that Jesus died on the cross. That's why you were saved, or that's why you can be saved. Because of that mercy. You see, any new trial in our life, any new decision that I face, we need to remember that God is a merciful God. We need to remember that God cares, even when you think it's too small for Him to care. God cares about you. He cares about your family. He cares about your finances. He cares about your neighbor. He cares about all of those things in your life, right down to the nth degree. God cares. He's merciful. And He cares. He cares about our church. He cares. And that's what David was seeking, this merciful word from God. Notice verse 11. It says, for your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies and you will destroy all the adversaries, for I am your servant. Secondly, David wanted a memorable word. Notice verse 5. And verse 5 says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. Now you'll hear me say 1,000 times that God puts eyes in the front of your head so you can see where you're going, not where you've been. That's why the windshield is bigger than the rearview mirror. But it's also positive to look at the past for experience, for knowledge. And so David is seeking a memorable word. I remember the days of old, he says. I meditate on thy works. And you say, well, why is he dwelling on the past? What good does that do? David knew that he could find the answers in what God had previously done in the past. And he was seeking for that. You see, we have a list of do's and don'ts because of past experience. I know fire is hot. I know ice is cold. I know when I stick my screwdriver into that electrical box that it hurts. How do I know that? Because I learned it from the past. And I draw on that experience to know, and Karen often reminds me, I don't have a screwdriver anymore, but Karen often reminds me, you don't do that. I learned that the hard way. I know that prayer and Bible study are essential elements in my house. How do I know that? Because I've done without it. And things didn't go too well. So we look to the past for experience. We look to the past for things to remind us of what God's done in the past. David wanted to be as effective in communicating his message for God to be as effective to communicating his message as he was with Moses and all of the other forefathers. And the Bible contains so many examples of answered prayer, but if you'll notice in each example of answered prayer, notice the relationship each Bible character had with God at the time the prayer was answered. See, David is asking God to speak to him. David is asking God to come to his rescue as strongly as he had rescued those in the past. I don't know about you, but I need to pray that prayer with David. God, I need your guidance just like you guided Abraham in the past. Because I know you do it because your word tells us you did it with Abraham and you did it with Moses and you've done it throughout your history. So I know that you do that. You understand tonight that prayer is surrender. It is surrendering to the will of God and cooperation, being in cooperation of that will. And let me ask you a question. If I throw a hook out into the middle of the sea and it catches on the bank and I start reeling, am I pulling the shore to me, or is the shore pulling the boat to it? And what we have to understand is, I don't pull God to me. I don't pull God to me. I align myself with God's will. And too many times we try to pull God to us. And prayer is in alignment with what the will of God is in our life. And I'm going to tell you from experience, aligning with God's will for your life is one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. That's not easy. Because many times it goes against what you personally really want to do. And it takes an abrupt halt, and it takes a humbleness of me saying, I'm surrendering, God, to your will. Isn't that what Jesus prayed? Your will be done. Father, if you can take this cup from me, please. But your will be done. And that's the same prayer sometimes, many times, that we have to face. You see, David was remembering the times probably when he killed the bear and he killed the lion and the lion that attacked the sheep. I'm sure David was remembering the day that he faced Goliath. That had to be a great memory for him. It had to be a great reminder, a memory that emphasized his dependence on God. When you pray to God, remember, He's answered in the past. And the answer you're looking for may have already been given. It may already be right here in Scripture. The answer you're looking for, it just may need a new application. Thirdly, David wanted a morning word, M-O-R-N-I-N-G, early morning. Look at verse 8. He says, "Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love. For in you I trust, make me know the way I should go. For to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground." He was looking to God for a daily guidance. When David prayed, "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning," he didn't just mean on that morning. He didn't just mean on a specific morning. He meant every morning. Surely he was in distress at this point when he wrote this, and he needed to know which way to go. But he had already established a relationship with God in advance. What am I saying? I'm saying we need to be prayed up. We need to be prayed up. Not just in the case of emergency. But we need to be prayed up. We need to be prayed up in our life. Practice makes perfect. Practice makes perfect. You know, if I just practice every so often, then it's harder for me to recall. If I just practice Scripture so often, it's harder for me to recall Scripture when I need Scripture. And there's times in our prayer life we need to be able to quote Scripture. So it's practice. When you pray to God, don't be out of practice. Have a prayer time daily. Morning seems to be a good time for most. It's a time of scheduling and convenience. And then you'll hear people say, "Well, I'm not a morning person." Well, do it in the evening. But have a time that is you and God. I just like to do it in the morning because I like to begin the day that way. It just seems to make the whole day go better. It's like when I exercise in the morning, I feel better all day long. When I don't exercise, I feel like blah all day long. Same in my prayer life, in my Bible study. I can tell you, Karen can tell you, when I come home in the afternoon, whether I had Bible study or not that morning. For some, it's not the morning. But it is the point that we need to have this quiet time to prepare for the trials and the storms that are coming that day. Consult God for those decisions that across your desk or across your home daily. Daily. Not just the emergencies. Not just the big ticket items. But consult Him daily. Fourth, we notice in verse 12 that David wanted a master's word. "And in your steadfast love will cut off my enemies, and you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul, for I am your servant." You see, David clearly acknowledges who he is. He says, "I am your servant." Maybe it says "thy servant" in your translation. Humility before God is a part of effective prayer. Humility before God is a part of knowing God's will for your life. When you pray to God, you need to pray in humility. God is your master. God is the one who controls your very life. You need to acknowledge that He is the Lord of your life. I don't know how you would enter prayer without acknowledging that He is exactly who He says He is. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings and the Creator of all there is. That's who He is. And we need to acknowledge that in our prayer. It's humbling. We shouldn't be challenging God. We shouldn't be demanding God. One of the best ways to show your submission to the will of God, you know what it is? Pray. Seek God's guidance. One of the most arrogant ways is to go do it yourself without God's guidance. The purpose of prayer is not for us to tell God how to run things. It's not the purpose of telling God what we're going to do. Instead, it is to acknowledge that God is sovereign and that His will, you would like His will to be done in the decisions that you're making in your life. Well, how does God answer prayer or pleas for direction and for guidance? Well, there are several ways I think God answers prayers. I think there are some times that He may help us see the matter about whatever you're praying about from His perspective through the Word on how He's done that in the past. He may help you recognize the potential value in a situation that you see no value. There are many times in my life that I have seen no value. In other words, I have seen nothing that positive can come out of that situation. And so it's very easy for me to brush that off. And then God says, wait a minute. There is some positive. There is some value. It's a person, for crying out loud. It's a person with a soul and a heart. Yeah, they don't look like you. They may not act like you. But they're exactly what you were before you met Christ. Boy, aren't we bad about judging people, aren't we? Aren't we bad? We're bad about it. But what we forget is we were in that same condition before we had Christ as our Savior. We're as lost as that Islamic guy that's walking down the road, or we're as lost as that Mormon across the street. And sometimes we make fun of those people, but the point is they're no more lost than I was before I accepted Christ and before someone shared the gospel with me. They're no more lost. The destination is exactly the same, folks. If that Muslim doesn't know Christ, he's going to hell, and if I don't know Christ, I'm going with him. And sometimes we forget that, and we start judging, and we start, if they don't know Christ, then that's where they're going. So we need to discover that there's value in some things that God will show us the value in that we don't notice sometimes. And prayer brings that to help us recognize what that potential is. God may help you and respond to you with directions and solutions which you've never thought possible. That is, until you've shut the door and had a quiet talk with Him. Sometimes when I'm praying, I rise up from that prayer and I just see the world a whole different way. I see the day a whole different way. I was telling somebody in here this morning, I was out before church trying to solve an issue. And they said, what are you doing? I said, I'm putting out fires. And they said, what are you putting out fires? I said, if I didn't have any fires to put out, I wouldn't have a job. That's all I do. I'm a fire extinguisher. That's what we do at work, right? Everybody in here is a fire extinguisher. I mean, you work and work and work and work to put out as many fires as you can in an 8-hour day, and then you go home, start over, and do it again tomorrow. Right, Brenda? That's what we do. And so they said, well, which place is worse for the fires, church or school? I didn't answer. But God will help you with those directions and those solutions which you never thought were possible until you've had that talk with Him. God may help you recollect some Bible scripture and some passages and some stories in the Bible that bring strength and bring comfort and bring direction and bring application to whatever it is you're going through in your life. I find that amazing as well. But an attitude of submission, to humble myself, is very important when I'm in prayer and in my prayer life. We must come in submission to the Word, in submission to the teachings of the Word, and in submission to what the Bible talks about, the moral law of God. And we're in submission to that. And that attitude of submission must permeate everything that we do. Everything. Even if you don't like the answer from God, submit to it. Oh, now wait a minute, Billy. I told you it was hard, didn't I? Even if you don't like the answer from God, submit to it. If you're going to claim His will be done, submit to it. We Christians are really good about claiming one thing and our actions prove another. I say it sometimes like this: your audio doesn't match your video. What comes out of our mouth does not match what we do. Our audio must match our video. If I say I'm following God and God tells me to go to Africa and I say, no, God, I'm not going to Africa, am I following God? Am I? Well, I like those missionaries. God, do with, I surrender all. How many times have we sung that song? My Lord. Right? Do we mean it? Have we really submitted to Him? Have we really surrendered? They're just words. Is that just audio? Or is that our video? No, I do surrender. The attitude of submission must permeate everything you do. Even if you don't like the answer. If you're going to say, I'll do your will, then do it. Submit to it. If you don't intend to do God's will, don't ask for it. If you don't intend to do it, don't ask for it. The old saying, watch what you pray for because you might just get it, holds true. You better watch what you pray for. Keep in mind that prayer is a two-way fellowship and communicating with God is a two-way fellowship. Pray often and listen for His answers through revelation, from His Word, through spiritual impressions in your heart, through circumstance, through a fellow Christian that may be praying alongside you. Make adjustments in your life that He impresses you to make. We talked about this word one Sunday, being compelled, that He compels you to make. He compels us to do things in our life. And always be open for further direction and changes that need to be made in your life. Don't get stuck in a rut. Well, I'm 72 years old, Billy. I'm not changing. I've been sitting in this pew since 1928. God said, move. God said, submit. And if I tell you to move, I want you to move. Or don't claim my name. Don't say, I surrender all and I love you, Jesus, and you're the Lord of my life and I'm following you, and then I ask you to do something and you turn your back on me. Are you really submitting? Isn't it strange that while we seldom in our prayer life ask for a change of character, but instead we usually ask for a change of circumstance? God, take that out of my life. Change my circumstance. Instead of really getting on our knees and praying, God, I need to change who I am. I'm the issue here. It's not the circumstance, it's me. I have to change who I am. I want to end tonight with this prayer called the Knots Prayer. I had a lady give this to me probably 10 years ago, and I kept it, and I thought maybe you've read it before, but I want to read it to you. It says, Dear God, it's the Knots Prayer, K-N-O-T-S. Has anybody ever seen it before? Dear God, please untie the knots that are in my mind, my heart, and my life. Remove the have-nots the cannots and the do-nots that I have in my mind. Erase the will-nots, the may-nots, the might-nots that may find a home in my heart. Release me from the could-nots and the would-nots and the should-nots that obstruct my life. And most of all, dear God, I ask that you remove from my mind and my heart and my life all of the am-nots that I have allowed to hold me back, especially the thought that I'm not good enough, that I can't do it, especially that thought that I'm not good enough. Amen. Isn't that who we are? And what David's reminding us is that we can turn it loose and that we can know God through our prayer life. If we'll seek the past, if we'll seek His presence in a humble manner, we can know God through prayer. Father God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for David and his heart. Thank you for Psalms 143 that we can dig in tonight and that we can find David wanting a morning word and a memorable word and a merciful word from you, Lord. And may we take that example with us this very week. And Father, so that we don't have to worry about standing against the cannons of the wicked. Father, thank you so much that you care for who we are and that we can have faith in those promises. Father, we pray that we would surrender to the will of God and that we would cooperate with that will. Father, we pray that we would be prayed up in the mornings. We would acknowledge that you are Lord, that we would find ways that your word applies to our life. And Father, that we would ask for a change of character and not just a change of circumstance. Father, we lift those up to you tonight. Father, we pray going into this next week that your will would be done, that we would submit to you and that we would follow whatever that is that you lay in our path. And we thank you in advance for that. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen.